Welcome, everyone, back Huddle Up Podcast. It is the Observations with Big Jim. I am your host, Big Jim. This is number 33 in the line of observation shows, and I feel like I've been doing this a lot as of late. I apologize for the amount of time since the last one of these. I haven't gotten one up since even before the Super Bowl, and it's been far too long. I've had ideas down. I've had plans to get them done, and then I see a butterfly, and I haven't gotten into the studio down here to record one of these in far too long. So I do apologize about that. We are going to be working on getting some, at least one, maybe two of the off-season episodes down here before the end of March and into April. April's an absolutely nuts month. In my personal life with some things. So I don't know how active we will be on that front in the month of April. So bear with us, but we have off-season content coming at some point from the main feed. But you have this show when I can get a chance to record. We also have the new show, The Mount, that is with Mikey B, Mike Bernier, and his pal Jason, two big baseball fans. They're beginning a journey through every baseball team, giving their top four, their Mount Rushmore players from that team. They'll have guests from time to time, maybe a deep-voiced individual that hosts a sports show will join them when talking about the Baltimore Orioles, but we will see depending when that is. But check that show out. If Ernest DJ Christian ever gets off of his ass to record one of his And One shows, we'll get that back up on the feed. Maybe Matt will record a single pitch show at some point, we will have content coming on the feed, so make sure you are subscribed on all podcast platforms, YouTube as well, as the shows do make their way over to there. Like and subscribe and rate and review wherever you can. Please get our merchandise over at tpublic.com as well. We have the new logo merch over there, and I want to talk about that for a second before I get into the observations. We've had the NFL-style shield logo for the last few years, and as always, I thank my pal Tim for putting that together a couple years ago when I kind of had this vision of it but just couldn't pull it off. Recently we've seen the Huddle Up Podcast Incorporated shield that has been up across the feed, but I've been playing around with some design tools logo generators, and I was able to come up with the new one that we have now that has the kind of grayish blue shield with the microphone, with the computer, with the audio setup inside of a locker room, and it just kind of encapsulates everything that I want for the feed and for the logo. So a new look for the new year, for the new upcoming off season, and eventual the new season of Huddle Up Podcast. So we have plenty going on there. So again, give your thoughts on that. We can get the merchandise for it over on our TeePublic store as well. Gonna start off, and it feels weird being a Dallas Cowboys fan and starting off talking about one of probably the better Eagles players, at least in recent memory, if not a very long time slash ever. But Jason Kelce retired last week from the Philadelphia Eagles, ending a 13-year NFL career. And a guy that really I don't think was on a lot of people's radar up until 2018, probably the very earliest, because he's a center. And unless you're a fan of a particular team, you're probably not aware who their center is. When the Philadelphia Eagles won a Super Bowl, won their Super Bowl in 2018, he became very famous, very popular, at least in my part of the world in Pennsylvania, by giving the speech heard around the world. And then really kind of came more on the scene to a broader audience in the last couple years with, of course, his brother Travis, their podcast New Heights, the Kelce documentary, where you got to kind of see a period of time, a season of time in his life from last season. And you got to see him interact with Travis away from football, his wife, his daughters, his mom, his dad, and see like how much of a genuine person he seems to be. And I remember watching it and tearing up at times and going, man, if this guy plays for the team that I hate, I can only imagine the love that Eagles fans have for this guy. And I've become a every week listener of New Heights. And watching his retirement speech, even I, a Cowboys fan, was sitting there getting choked up at this big bear of a human being. You know, just breaking down in a 40-plus minute retirement speech that was as perfect as can be, is better than he was on the field when he's one of the best to ever play the position of center. He absolutely seems like a better person. And then in the aftermath, or the days after the speech, you come to find out that he had his ankles taped for the speech because the Eagles trainer, who's been there his entire career, had been diagnosed with cancer this year, is now in remission, but was unable to make the final trip, the final game, the Eagles playoff game to Tampa Bay. So he didn't get to tape Jason's ankles one last time. So Jason had him tape his ankles for the retirement speech. And man, it just, everything about the guy seems so genuine, so pure. The NFL on-field world lost one of the best ones to retirement. Father Time stays undefeated. But I think Jason has a future in whatever he wants to do, whether it's to stay in the podcasting realm, whether it's to go in the studio broadcasting world, in the game day play, you know, color commentator world. I think he's going to excel wherever he wants to. He wants to go into the coaching world. There's probably a team in Philadelphia that will hire him the minute he wants to enter that world. So best wishes to Jason Kelce in his retirement. What's not clean, what's not pretty, what's not wonderful is the mess that is the Dallas Cowboys. And just when I think I can go into the offseason and I don't have to worry about it, I don't have to get mad at the Cowboys, I don't have to get frustrated with the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones and company find a way to do it. Going into a season where it's Dak Prescott's final year of his contract, where he's due $57 million. There's been talk about they're going to extend him to the tune of possibly one of the biggest, if not the biggest, quarterback contracts in the NFL. There's talk about they're going to let him just play out, and he's going to want to play out his final season and maybe test out free agency next springtime, which would be perfect because Mike McCarthy and the majority of the coaching staff is going in to their final year. So everybody's just kind of on a let's see if we can do anything different than we've done for the past 5, 10, 15, 20, almost 30 years. It's basically a lame duck season. It's basically a lame duck season, which is just great. Jerry Jones said the Cowboys were going to be all in. Well, we're 2 days into free agency, and the Dallas Cowboys have not signed a single free agent. There was one team out of 32 in the National Football League that didn't contact a single free agent on day one. That team, is the Dallas Cowboys. Now, granted, they probably don't really have a reason to call anybody because they don't have any freaking money. I know they have $2 million again. They have $2 million over the cap. And I have Cowboys fans telling me on Twitter that, well, you can just make that up. Yeah. Because it's that easy, right? And if you haven't noticed over the past almost 30 years, management of this team is inept and moronic. You know, and it's just, I don't understand how Cowboys fans continue to think that this ownership group cares about what fans think. Well, they're going to listen to us. Have you been paying attention for any length of time? Jerry Jones has said in the time between around the combine that as long as sports media is talking about the Dallas Cowboys, they've done their job. Basically admitting that all that matters is that Jerry Jones and the Joneses are making money. It's not something I didn't already know. I mean, it's plainly obvious, but hearing it out loud is the part that sucks. So no Cowboys news in free agency. The NFL free agency is very active. The Philadelphia Eagles seem to be not so happy that they didn't win the NFC East. They have added Saquon Barkley, Bryce Huff, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Devontae Parker, Zach Bond, and Matt Hennessy to their lineup. The Washington Commanders have been busy. They've been adding pieces. The Giants have been adding some pieces. The Cowboys don't have a starting running back, left tackle, or linebackers. The running back scene in the National Football League has changed dramatically. Derrick Henry is a Raven. Aaron Jones is a Viking. Joe Mixon is with the Texans. Zach Moss, Bengals. I mentioned Barkley to the Eagles. Josh Jacobs is a Packer. Austin Eckler is now in Washington. Tony Pollard is now in Tennessee. DeAndre Swift is in Chicago. Devin Singletary in with the Giants. Gus Edwards goes from Harbaugh to Harbaugh and goes to L.A. Antonio Gibson is a Patriot. Dallas is Rico Dowdle. So that's fun. But a very active NFL scene. Kirk Cousins is the new quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. In a move that, if he stays healthy, I think makes the Falcons the front runner in the South, despite Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans being back in Tampa Bay. The Jets have Tyrod Taylor as a backup, so if and probably when QA Ron either gets hurt or has to go on the RFK Jr. Campaign trail, Tyrod Taylor is your new backup. Sam Darnold is the new quarterback in Minnesota, and Russell Wilson goes to Pittsburgh, a move that I think is very, very smart. And one thing that I think is funny is a lot of people are saying, well, like, Russell Wilson expects to be the starter. I would. Why would he not be the starter? Right? He should be going into the season as the starter. I'm sorry, but the Kenny Pickett experiment should be over in Pittsburgh. He's not good. He's not good. Okay. Is he better than Mitch Trubisky? Yes. Is he better than Mason Rudolph? Debatable. Should he be the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh? Absolutely not. If he didn't go to college there, he's probably not even still there this year. Russell Wilson should be the starter. If it doesn't work, then figure it out. And Russell Wilson's career is over then. But yeah, NFL, it's active for anybody that is in Dallas. Evgeny Kuznetsov, former Washington Capitals, Stanley Cup champion with the Capitals, has had a whirlwind journey back to the NHL. Earlier this year, he had entered the NHLPA player assistant program. It was the second time in the program he had suspension at the start of the 2019-2020 season due to cocaine use. Stanley Cup champion with the Washington Capitals in 2018 and his best statistical season that year and in 2019. But during this season, he entered the player assistant program. No reason was given why. And then 2 weeks ago was cleared to return to practice, was placed on waivers by the Capitals. When he cleared waivers because of the, he had, I think, $7.8 million on his contract, went unclaimed, was assigned to the American Hockey League Hershey Bears, skated with the team for a few practices, was said to become the highest paid player in the history of the American Hockey League, and potentially would have been playing with the Bears, defending Calder Cup champion Hershey Bears. But on trade deadline day, he was traded to the Carolina Hurricanes, is now fully cleared to play in games. He has played, I think, 3 games with the Hurricanes this year. His production had fallen off with Washington over the last couple of years, and it was really disappointing to see because he's a guy that I loved in Washington. He scored the overtime game-winning and series-clinching goal against the Pittsburgh Penguins in the 2018 Stanley Cup playoffs, where the Capitals ended up, it was the first time advancing past the second round in 20-plus years. We're in 20 seasons. And it was the first time that Ovechkin in that group had beaten the Penguins in the postseason, went on to win a Stanley Cup. So I've always kind of had a soft spot for Kuzi, and I wish him the best. I hope that he can stay clean and healthy in Carolina, and, you know, it sucks it didn't work out in Washington, but, you know, hopefully he will do fine there. Speaking of, my Washington Capitals, hope is beginning to fade for them after a 3-0 loss to the the Winnipeg Jets. Last night, the Capitals now sit 3 points out of the final wild card spot, 7 points out of the third place in the Metro Division, with just 19 games to play. And I know with 2 points per win and 1 point, if you can take it to overtime and lose, it doesn't sound like an impossible number. But the inconsistency of the team, a goal differential of minus 27, 6-3-1 in the last 10. But I think the inconsistency is what's going to hurt them down this stretch with a lot of tough games. Currently in the midst of a West Coast road trip. No groundbreaking deadline deals. Again, Kuznetsov trade to Carolina for picks. Joel Edmundson traded away for picks. And Anthony Mantha traded away for picks. And I think that's really the smart move for the Capitals. They are one of the oldest teams. I think the third oldest team average age on their roster in the NHL. But now looking forward, they have the third most picks, I believe I saw, over the next two or three NHL drafts. So the youth is starting to thrive. The surge as of late with this team has come from a lot of the youth, a lot of the guys that have been in Hershey and successful there. Ovechkin's gotten a little bit of a role with goals at times. and Manning's got a couple years left on his deal. And I don't know if, you know, I keep teetering on the hope of this, of him catching Gretzky. He's now, I think, 49 goals away. But as we've seen this year, some of his struggles, Father Time looks like it's catching up. Certainly looks like it could be a really tight race to the goals record for Ovechkin. Couple other things before we close out tonight. John Tortorella, the head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, was suspended for 2 games and fined for a altercation in a game against the Tampa Bay Lightning over the weekend. The Flyers were trailing 4-0. And I think he sent out Garnet Hathaway, who's more knuckles than he is points, more of a enforcer type. Sent on the ice, bumped into a Lightning player, caused a bit of a melee, and something happened. I don't know what was said specifically, but John Tortorella was ejected from the game, given a game misconduct and ejected, and refused to leave the bench, and had some choice words, if you can lip read, with the official. Maybe it was, asking him about his favorite cream cheese or something, I'm not sure, but the NHL suspended him for 2 games for the altercation and for not wanting to leave. And I know there's a lot of Flyers fans and some others that don't agree with it. But I've never been a fan of John Tortorella. I think he's a bit of a prick, and always has been. But I just think that, you know, whether you agree with the suspension or not, the officials have to have control. Whether you agree with a penalty call, whether you agree with a coach or a referee's decision, argue it to the point where you get ejected, and then you choose not to leave. There has to be discipline there. There has to be discipline there. So I don't feel bad for John Tortorella. I don't feel bad for the Flyers. He deserved to be suspended. And lastly, some talk out of the college football world is, as we get ready to embark this upcoming season on the first 12 team playoff year, there's been a lot of talk about a 14 team playoff, coming down the pipeline. And my first thought is, can we just get through at least 1 year of the 12-team playoff before we start talking about expansion again? Can we do that? Can we try that to see how a 12-team system will work? And I've been very vocal about how I don't like with the current 12-team system that's coming out that you're going to get automatic bids for conference champions. Well, part of the discussion per reports, I believe Ross Denlinger reports, that part of the 14-team expansion or the 14-team playoff is that the SEC and the Big Ten would have multiple automatic bids, and their conference champions would get buys into the possibly even the third round, I believe I read. Why? And I get it. I know. Money. Power. I get that part. But it's bad enough. It's bad enough that you are going to, that you're instituting automatic bids for conference champions without limit to, like without a minimum ranking. But now you're going to do multiple guaranteed spots for people just because they're in a conference, just because they're at a certain level of that conference. And I know I can already hear people saying, well, you're just mad because Notre Dame's an independent. No, that has nothing to do with why I'm upset by this. Because why should a team who is second in the Big Ten or second in the SEC automatically get in? I mean, think about it. What? Where's the logic there? Because if they're good enough, so like this past season, for example, right? Like Georgia, they would have been in the college football playoff in the 12-team system and what would be the 14-team system without a second automatic bid for the SEC because they were in the top 10. So they were the highest ranked at-large bid, right? So they would have been in. So just be good enough to get in because that's what everybody's always said to me about Notre Dame. Well, you just have to be good enough, right? So this has nothing to do with the Notre Dame aspect of it. This is the fact that I think certain conferences, SEC, Big Ten, are getting preferential treatment because they're the biggest players in the game. So you're going to a 12-team system this year, which is already being compromised by a potential 14-team system going forward, which is even being more compromised because the Big Ten and the SEC have more money and power. I hate it. I hate it because it's dumb. Just be good enough. What happens if one year the Big Ten is exceptionally bad, right? What if one year the Big Ten has an ACC-like season from one of these past couple of years where you have one team that wins the conference, but the rest of the conference is absolute shit, which I get as the expansion of the Big Ten is less likely. But let's just hypothetical it for a second. What if? What if there's that anomaly season? Like that, like one of those early 2000s Orange Bowls when number 25 Florida State played number 8 Penn State just because they won the Big East or the SEC. It was a joke. It was a joke then. It's going to be a joke now. Because this system, at some point, if you do this, will get exposed for being absurd. For just letting anybody in. But what do I know? I'm just an asshole with a microphone. That's where I'm going to wrap up tonight with the observations. I hope that you are doing well wherever you are. Please give us a like and a share wherever you find us on all podcast platforms, YouTube as well, on the Huddle Up podcast feed. You can get me at Big Jim Sports. Subscribe at Huddle Up Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. You can get our Instagram feed over at Huddle Up Podcast, Inc. Get our merchandise over at tpublic.com. And until next time, stay safe, stay smart, and as always, go for the win.